Joseph's dreams said that one day they were all going to bow down before him. There was such a hatred that went along with that. And as the story continues to develop, the brothers, they left home to go out into a far place, a place called Shechem, to care for their flocks, to feed the flocks. However, the father Jacob got a little bit concerned about them. So out of concern for their well-being, he sends out some help. And that's where we pick up our reading in verse number 13 of Genesis 37. And I hope that you'll look at it. Verse 13 of Genesis 37, the Bible says, "And Israel," now that is actually Jacob, "Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee," Joseph, "unto the brethren," them. "And he said," this is Joseph said to his father Jacob, "Here am I." How fitting that is for what we just heard sung, right? Here am I. Can I encourage you to underscore those words in your Bible? Don't ever lose the "here am I" of your life. Always make sure that is your response. Here am I. Look at verse number 14 a little bit further. The Bible says, "And he," that is Jacob, "said to Joseph, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren," well with the flock, "and bring me word again." So Jacob sent Joseph out of the vale of Hebron. Joseph came to Shechem. A certain man found him. Behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man said unto Joseph, saying, "What seekest thou?" What seekest thou? Let me tell you, Genesis 37 is loaded with all kinds of spiritual dynamite. And what we're finding in these verses is the actual fuse to it all. And so I want to speak to you this morning for a little while, and I want to draw your attention to one theme, one thought, and here it is. Get it now. You will never get to where you're going until you are where you're supposed to be. Did you understand that? You will never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, when I look back over the years of the life that God has mercifully given me to live, I stand amazed when I look and I see how the providential hand of the Lord has guided me and been with me all the way. I was born into the home of a pastor, and about 8 or so years later, God called him to be a missionary to our U.S. military, serving overseas in Germany. And we did that with furloughs for about a 10-year time span, but following the election of Bill Clinton and the drawdown of U.S. forces overseas, the base where we were serving, it closed with no place left for us to go. We returned back to the United States, where my dad took a position with the mission board. That's what landed us right here in the North Georgia area. As a result of that, in the summer of 1993, Melissa and I were able to meet. We were married in year 2020, had to think for a second, but September the 9th, just in a couple of weeks, 2020. Dad has often joked about how that the Lord had to shut down an entire military base to bring us back to this spot where her and I would have the opportunity to meet. Shortly following that, I started some businesses, and God blessed them mightily. We thank Him for it. Now listen to me. Melissa and I made one pivotal spiritual decision in our life, and that would have been back in August of 2002. After we were married, we made a decision to follow what we believed was the will of God for our lives. It was a difficult decision. It was a decision that came with such controversy and conflict. But as it continued to develop, God ended up calling us to preach, me to preach, as a direct result of that. And all during this time, and even before all of this, God placed another man in my life. You'll recognize his name. His name was Eddie Killian. And through a series of events, he continued to ask us to come out here and to preach at Linwood. Brother Eddie, for those of you who don't know, he was the pastor here at Linwood for 10 and a half years. And that ultimately led one thing to another to us being able to come out here and be the pastor of this church for the past 10 or so years. All of my stories that I could stand and tell, They're all very long. And they have very, very many details. They really do. I don't want anybody to mistake anything that I'm saying here this morning, because I've made my share of mistakes. I've made all kinds of them that have no doubt pushed the limits of God's patience in my life. But somehow through it all, God has protected me. And He has allowed me to be able to serve Him in these days. And He's put a passion in my heart to be able to do so. But when I look back, I can see how that providential hand of God, it placed people, it placed circumstances, and it even placed divine appointments in my path that has brought us to where we are today. And I just want to stop and I want to thank God for the privilege and the honor that it is to be able to serve our blessed Lord. As I look back at my life and as I think back at these things that I've shared, and my goodness, so many other things that I could share with you, I see it more clearly today than I ever have before. Listen to me, you will never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. So the Christian that is in this building this morning, or the Christian that may be listening live today, and you are struggling to find your way in life, you're struggling to find what is next on your journey of life, you are struggling to find God's perfect will and God's perfect plan for what He has for you, I want you to join me on a little journey of Genesis 37 in these few verses and then a couple of others. And I want you to put your heart and mind into the life of Joseph this morning, because there are some truths here that reveal to us the secret to this whole thing. The secret to the whole thing, listen, is you and I being in the right place at the right time. Because you will never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. We see this, first of all, with the steps of consecration. Would you write that down? There is the steps of consecration. I love to read after A.W. Tozer, and Tozer said this: people who are crucified with Christ, by the way, that's what consecration is, totally dedicating your life over to the Lord. You are crucified to Christ just as Christ was crucified on His cross. Those who are crucified to Christ, he goes on to say, have but three distinct marks. Listen to this. They are facing only one direction. They can never turn back, and they no longer have any plans of their own. That's consecration. That is totally crucifying your life to Christ. You're facing only one direction. You can never turn back. And you no longer have any plans of your own. Listen to me. If you're ever going to get to where you're going, you better be where you're supposed to be. And that starts with totally consecrating our lives over to the Lord. I'm talking about everything, turning your world upside down and giving it all over to the Lord. We see this illustrated to us in the Word of God and our lives being consecrated because of the way this man Joseph's life was consecrated. And we see it, first of all, with how he had a desired closeness to the Father. He wanted to be close to the Father. Look at verse number 13 again. He says, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? And Jacob the father says here, come and I will send thee unto them. And Joseph said, here am I. See, the other brothers, they were gone at this point. They were out of the home and they could not hear the voice of the father. But here was old Joseph. He was close enough into the home of the father that when the father spoke, he could hear the voice of the father. If you look at the end of verse number 14, you will notice that the family home of Jacob and all of them and all the sons and all the family and all the wealth, it was headquartered in a place called Hebron. Now, if you've been with us in our study of Joshua, there's a connection with Joshua, isn't there? Caleb, remember how Caleb? He wanted Hebron. And we learned there that Hebron means fellowship. Hebron means communion with the Lord. The father, that is Jacob, he loved Joseph. Joseph loved the father, Jacob. And old Joseph, he never wanted to be out far from where the father was. He had a desire to be in the presence of the father at all times. Why did he have such a desire? desire. It is simply because Joseph understood that it was the Father who had given him life. It was the Father who fed him, the Father who clothed him, the Father who housed him. It was the Father who prepared a happy and a healthy home that he would be able to grow up and have happiness even in the future, a destiny to do great things. It was in the Father's house that he found all of that. I can't understand for the life of me why people want to get away from the Father. I can't fathom it, ladies and gentlemen, why people are satisfied with being away from the Lord, with being backslid, with going their own direction, planning their own lives, knowingly that they're out of the will of God, knowing that they are not living a life that is straight in line with God and what God wants for them. They're okay with it. They get bad influence, they have bad advice, and they run after a bunch of stuff that is taking them away from the Father's house. Without even realizing that the same principle that we see right here with old Joseph and the father Jacob and how the father fed him, he gave him life, he clothed him, he housed him. He was the one who gave him opportunities of happiness and a destiny in the future. They don't understand that the same principle is true in their own lives. Not only spiritually, of course, but physically as well. It is the Father God in heaven that gave you life. It is the Father God in heaven that feeds you, that clothes you, that houses you. And the only hope you'll ever have in the future is if you align your life with the Father. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. If you don't have a desire to follow the Father, if you don't have a desire to be close to Him, in other words, in your Bible, maybe in your prayer time, in the house of God, or with people that you can have in your life, surround your life with good, reputable people we were talking about last week. If you don't have a desire to do that, how can you ever expect to be able to get to where you're going for the Lord? Or even where you want to go for the Lord. That's not the way it works. God is not going to show us His will without us living by His Word. Learn that. Do you get that? God is never going to show us His will without us living by His Word. One of the greatest tools that you will ever have in being close to the Father is not only found in the Bible, it is not only found in your prayer time. Here it is. It's being among the people of God. In the Father's house, the house of God, the place where God speaks to His people, the place that God has ordained and set aside for the sole purpose of hungry people, people who know they need God, to be able to come into His presence and to be able to experience all of who God is. It truly is with a saddened heart, and I mean this. It is with a saddened heart that I watch people who know better get out of the Father's house, go out their own direction. And one of the reasons that there's such sadness that is involved, and we talk about this, Brother Daniel, all the time, it is because we know what the end result is. They think that they are going to be able to skirt around every other person that has ever lived in history and God's path that they've taken because they've gotten out of God's path. That's not the way it works. You will fall in the same trap as everybody else has fallen all through the centuries and generations of time. And so we know and we see it with a saddened heart because we know what the end result is really going to be. Sure enough, one day the phone rings. Or one day they walk into church and you can see the battered marks of sin all over their lives. You can hear the brokenness and the weeping in their voices on the other line on the phone as they lay out this and they lay out that of how their whole worlds had totally fallen apart because they got out of the Father's house. Through all of this, they have consistently said that they want to do what's right. They want to know God more. They want to follow the will of God. But how can they expect to know how to get to where they're going if they're not where they're supposed to be? You've got to be in a place where God can work in your life. You've got to be in that Bible. You've got to be in prayer. You've got to be in the house of God. Listen, you have no choice in it. Not only because God has required the Christian to do so, but because if you're ever going to get to where you're going, you'd better be where you're supposed to be right now. And so we are learning here that Joseph, he had a desired closeness. But that desire and closeness also shows to us that he had a declared consent. Because of his closeness to the Lord, he was declaring to the world, all of us and everyone who has ever lived, he was declaring to the world, I'm following the Father. I'm going with God. And you look at it in verse number 14. He was going to consent everything of his life over to the Lord. Verse number 14. The Bible says, and he said to him, Jacob said to Joseph right here. He said, Joseph, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. Bring me word again. So Jacob the father sent Joseph out of the vale of Hebron. The father sent him out to a mean world. It was time for the son here to grow up. You see, these boys, they had gone out already of the house. The fact is, when you study the previous chapters of this, you will learn that the sons of Jacob had already caused Jacob the father all kinds of heartache. And if you study the chapters that were going to follow, you'll learn that there was a whole lot more heartache that was to come as well. But aren't you thankful that Jacob the father in this picture still had a son and he still had a burden big enough to send a Joseph to go out and to find them? If you know anything about the life of Joseph, then you know that Joseph was yet another picture of Jesus Christ himself in the Bible. I've told you before, but three people carried Christ in the Bible. You had Joseph in the New Testament, the father of Christ. You had Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph the father carried Jesus in his birth. Joseph of Arimathea carried Jesus in his death. Joseph of the Old Testament carried Jesus in Bible typology. He was a type of Jesus Christ. And so here we have the Father sending out the Son, the picture of Jesus, to go out and find some wayward old boys. How many of you can lift your hands with me right now and say how grateful you are to the Lord that there was a good God in heaven one day that sent a Joseph, sent our picture of Christ out to be able to come and find us that has drifted away from the things of God. You got to remember something here. Joseph did not want to leave Hebron. He was at home in fellowship and in communion with the Father. He didn't want to leave because it was a long journey. It was a difficult journey over some 60 miles of rugged terrain to the place that was called Shechem. Wild animals would have been lurking in every area that he would have gone across these 60 miles. The Shechemites, they hated the sons of Jacob because of the things that had happened in previous chapters and how the sons of Jacob had gone in and killed a whole bunch of the Shechemites. The Shechemites wanted to kill the sons of Jacob, including old Joseph. And then we learn a little bit further in this text that it was that when he got there, he had to travel 12 more miles beyond that 60, so 70 some odd miles north of a place called Samaria. Do you know what's significant about that? That was a place that set right there within a stone's throw of the dangers of the Egyptian Empire. All of the Egyptian territory. There was danger literally everywhere. On top of all of that, the brothers of Joseph wanted to kill him. Do you get that? They wanted to kill him. The place that he was going, the people he was going to find, even they were going to be out to get Joseph. No. Joseph did not want to go on this journey. But you know what? When the father called, he was consecrated. He said, I'll go, Dad, because you told me and I desire to be close to you. And the way that I am proving my closeness to you is to do whatever you are calling me to do. Do you get it? Joseph was consecrated. Joseph knew. Joseph understand he would never get to where he was going in life unless he was where he was supposed to be. And I'm reminding us again, we will never get to where we're going in life until we are where we are supposed to be. I read the story. It's not new. You've heard it before. About Patsy Claymont. She found herself sitting on a plane one day next to a young man. She writes, and I quote, she said, I already observed something about this young man when I sat down because he called me ma'am. And she goes on to say, at the time, I thought either he thought I was ancient, she thought I was old, Or maybe he was born in the South where they still teach people manners. Somebody say amen right there. Or maybe he was actually in the service. She decided that she figured that the latter was the most likely. So she asked, she said, "You in the service?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." "Which branch?" she said. "Marines," was his reply. Patsy said, "Hey, Marine, where are you coming from?" "Operation Desert Storm, ma'am," said the soldier or the Marine. "No kidding," said Patsy. "How long have you been there?" "I was there for a year and a half. I'm on my way home. My family is waiting for me at the airport." "I then commented," Patsy said, "of how that he must have thought 1,000 times about what the moment would be like when he finally returned home to the Middle East." And this was the Marine's reply. He said, "Oh, no, ma'am. We were taught never to think of what might never be, but to be fully available right where we are." Sometimes we get so hung in the fact that we're just looking at what might be, and we're missing where God has got us. We'll see more about that in just a minute. But that story right there is a picture of consecration. It is a man saying, "I have a desired closeness, a declared consent to whatever God may have. My heart is totally surrendered over to Him, and I am zeroed in, laser focused on what God's got." Remember, you'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. It all starts with a consecrated life. All starts with a consecrated life. The steps of consecration, but that does not mean that you will never be in the season of consternation. The steps of consecration, the season of consternation. I'm talking about confusion there. You are feeling like you're anxious. You're dismayed about a bunch of uncertain things that has made its way into your life. A do-it-yourself catalog firm received the following letter from a customer. I'll read it as it is, every word. The customer writes, "I built a birdhouse according to your stupid plans. And not only was it far too big to keep in the tree, but it kept blowing out of it. Signed, Unhappy." To which the firm replied, "Dear Unhappy, we're sorry about the mix-up. We accidentally sent a sailboat blueprint to you. But if you think you're unhappy, you should read the letter from the guy who came in last at the yacht club competition." Little boy entered a birdhouse at a yacht club competition. Confusion. 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 I wonder how many of us today, and I've been there. I wonder how many of us today are in a state of confusion about which way we're to go. What is really next in our lives? What is God's perfect will? God's perfect plan? The purpose that the Lord established from the foundation of time? What is that for my life? What is that for my purpose now? Once again, we've got to remember that the Bible teaches us through this text here that you will never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. Is it possible that the reason many of us are so blessed confused about a bunch of things today, we have anxiety about it, we have dismay in our spirit about it, is simply because we're not where we're supposed to be? And because we're not where we're supposed to be, we'll never be able to get to where we are going. So oftentimes it comes here with the season of consternation, confusion, trying to get to where we're supposed to be. And so as we study this text a little bit further, I want to talk to you for a minute about what I'm going to call an understood destination. Joseph understood what his destination was to be. Now it's interesting to follow this. Look in verse number 14. "So he," that is Jacob, "sent him," Joseph, "out of the veil of communion," fellowship, "out of Hebron, and he came to Shechem." Joseph walked out of Dad's house with clear instruction on where Dad said, I want you to go. Father said, I want you to go to a place that is called Shechem. And though old Joseph did not understand everything having to do with his destination, though Joseph was confused about all the distance, the difficulty and the danger that was going to come with it, listen to me, he still took the first step. Joseph took the only step that Joseph knew to take at that point. The father said, I want you to go to Shechem. And Joseph said, yes, Dad, I will go to Shechem. Dad, I don't understand why I'm having to travel 72 some odd miles. Dad, I don't understand why it's going to be such a difficult, rough terrain that I'm going to have to go over. Dad, I don't understand why there could be such dangers that are going to be in my path. But I'm consecrating my life. I'm going to give it all over to you. And though I'm confused, I'm in a state of consternation, I am consecrated to follow whatever you have for me right now. Many of us, listen to me, many of us may be right now, we may be where we're supposed to be. And many of us may have a pretty good idea about where we're supposed to go for God next. But a lot of times we muddy the water of God's guidance with our confused minds. Many times we're where we're supposed to be. Many times we believe we know what God has for us, but we let the devil get in these minds. The devil starts muddying up this. The devil starts muddying up that. Oh, let me help the church here. Sometimes the muddying conditions are even good things that God can use in other circumstances, but we misapply them to our lives. We'll start thinking this or that is confusing me, when in reality the answer to all of it is right there. But our minds are just overwhelmed, confused, consternation, anxiety. That is just overwhelming us. And so we muddy the waters of God's perfect plan. And we ourselves allow us not to be able to take that first step, the next step, the only step that we know that we are to go to be able to get to where we're going, even though we are where we are supposed to be. As a result, we talk ourselves out of that first step. But friends, what we are forgetting is simply this. Part of our responsibility in getting to where we're going, listen to me, it is respecting and it is carefully executing every detail of where we are currently at. Now, let me put it to you this way. Will you let me do this? If you want to get to where you're going, don't sin against where you're at. If you want to get to where you're going, don't sin against where you're at. You see, sometimes we get so anxious in our consternation, so anxious in our confusion, so anxious in our dismay condition, so anxious to be able to get to what's next that we mess up what's now. And the fact of the matter is, we don't realize the fact that if we mess up what's now, we are absolutely, before we even get there, messing up what's next. If you're going to get to where you're going, you better be right where you're supposed to be, but you better not sin against this time that God is giving you right where you're at. God's never going to give you clarity of mind and decisions that you need to make if you're messing up where you're currently at. You've got to follow the directions of God Almighty in every way. Now hold on to that. I want us to build on it, because we not only see that there is an understood destination. Oh, Joseph, he knew that the father said, I want you to go to Shechem and I want you to find your brothers. He understood the destination, but there was an unsure direction that he was going to go in it. Oh, old Jacob here, he told Joseph, go find your brothers at Shechem. But you know, Brother Joel, what Jacob didn't know and what Joseph didn't know was his brothers had already moved on from Shechem. They were no longer in Shechem. You see, Shechem was where they were. We'll see in just a minute. But they had moved on to greener pastures, so to speak. And so here comes Joseph to Shechem. And when Joseph gets there, he could not find who or what he was supposed to be there to get. He knew where he was supposed to go, but he could not find them when he got there. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. Listen to me. The geographical location was not what really mattered. Joseph's ultimate destination was where his brothers were. All Jacob, dad here, did, the father, all he did was give him his starting point to go. This is where you're supposed to go. Your brothers, last I knew of, they were in a place called Shechem. He had taken the first step, did Joseph. He had taken the first step and he had gone where he was supposed to go. But when he got there, he could not find what he was supposed to find. Okay, get this in your heart. Sometimes our original plans, they are just stepping stones to where God is really trying to get us to go for Him. Sometimes our original plans, if we're where we're supposed to be, they're just stepping stones to be able to get us to where God really wants us to go for Him. Now watch it and listen closely. Joseph knew where he was going, but at this point he did not know exactly how to get there. You ever been in that spot before? You feel like you have a pretty good idea. You know where you're going, but you just can't figure out how to get there. Let's say we were going to go out to our cars today and we were going to take a road trip. Michelle, let's say we were going to go to Michigan. For whatever reason, we'll go to Michigan, okay? And we put the destination in our GPS, our phone. And when it pops up on the screen, do you know that this modern technology today, it'll give you 3 or 4 different routes to be able to get to the same destination. When you look at it, you can have the highway route. Maybe you can take the country or back roads for another route. There's another route that'll bypass the tolls. That's the one I look for. Add all traffic that may be there. And then there may be even 1 or 2 others that will be there. But you'll find several different routes. And the fact is simply this. All of those routes will get you to your destination. But there is only one that you should take that is going to be best for your timeline, best for your stress level, and that of which will be the easiest for you to be able to make this journey. See, it's possible that some of us may feel that we have a pretty good idea of where we need to go. But in the middle of that condition today, we are struggling with the directional way in which we need to take. We are just not sure who we're supposed to take with us on this journey. We're not sure which door of the building that we are supposed to walk out of. We're not sure which car that we're supposed to get in to go. We're not sure which road that we're to get on to be able to take our journey. And we just don't know how fast we are to go while we are on it to be able to get our destination. Bottom line, we are just confused. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you that most of that stuff, it simply does not matter. And when we get hung in all of it, all we're doing is weighing ourselves down, getting grime and sludge within our system, and we're getting hung in the weeds of a whole bunch of stuff that God does not want us to get hung all in. All that God expects of every one of us right now is just simply to be in the right place at the right time and to be willing to say when the Father calls, "Here am I, Lord," to be willing to get up and to take the first step, the only step that you know to take, because you'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. Are you beginning to get the picture now of what is unfolding in our text? Joseph was sent out of the home of the father, Jacob. "I want you to," he said, "to go to Shechem." Shechem is where your destination will be. Joseph gets there. He's not finding who his destination was to be. So Joseph, at this point, he's just confused at what's going on. But he was consecrated to the Father. He took the steps of consecration. And then he went through, however, that season of consternation. But he was faithful to it, and because he was faithful, he found the source of confirmation. The source of confirmation. Listen to me closely. When we're where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing, God will always give us a source to show us what's next. Those of us that are just confused, anxiety is all over us because of what we're dealing with life, dismayed mindset, and we just have consternation everywhere. We're looking and we're searching. You need to understand there is a source that is available to us. Now, Joseph found it, first of all, in a prepared instrument. Look in verse number 15. And a certain man. A certain man found him. Behold, he was wondering. Look at that word. I love that. He was wondering, was Joseph in the field? Joseph, he made it to Shechem. Are you following me? He made it to Shechem. That's where the father, that's where dad said, I want you. Joseph, I want you to go to Shechem. But when he got there, he did not find what or who he was looking for. He knew that he had not made it to his final destination yet. Though he was in the spot he thought he was supposed to go, he had not made it to his final destination yet. Therefore, he was confused. He was searching. He was wondering in the field. He was trying to find what was next. But you need to understand, old Joseph had confidence in the Father. And Joseph knew that the Father would have never sent him to a place without there being some other source that was going to tell him where he needed to go and what he needed to do next. So what did Joseph do? He went to wondering, he went to waiting, and he began watching for what God had next. What was the source that was going to guide him to the next step of life? I find it so interesting. The Bible speaks of Shechem here. The word Shechem can actually be translated, and it means shoulder. We'll learn that more next week and the significance of it in our Joshua series. But it's talking about shoulder. And it is actually pointing to a strong, healthy arm that is able to carry you when you need to be carried. And so old Joseph, he made his way straight to that place, straight to that shoulder. The Father said, I want you to go to the shoulder of strength. And though you may be confused, though you may not have all the answers, you have anxiety in your life, you have consternation, dismayed about all this, just get to Shechem. And you're going to find a strong arm that's going to take you to where you need to go next. And so here he is. Can you see Joseph now? I can see him now. He is wandering around in the field. His eyes are wide open. He's looking around every corner, behind every tree, under every stump. He's wandering around in the field. He's turning in all directions. And old Joseph is no doubt praying, dear God, show me where I need to go next. When all of a sudden the Bible says a certain man. How many of you are grateful for some certain men that God has placed, people that God has placed, sources that God has placed in your life? The Bible says a certain man. It's an unknown man. There's a lot of interesting things we could talk about concerning this man right here, but we can't get into that now. But there was an unknown man, a certain man, and we'll call it this, that came up to him in his wondering status, and he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, hey fella, you look confused. Is there anything that I can help you with? Well, I imagine in our lives there's been many times that people have at least wanted to come up to us and tap us on the shoulder and say, hey man, hey ma'am, hey man, you look confused. I mean, you look like you just don't know where you're going next. You don't know what to do next. You're just confused. Is there anything I can do to help you? I truly do believe, I really do believe this. Part of what makes this story so fascinating is I don't believe that old Joseph was even startled by this unknown man in dangerous Shechem territory. What could have been in some cases a Shechemite coming up to him, I don't believe that Joseph was even startled when he came and he approached him in such a dangerous territory. See, I believe that old Joseph was so locked in to finding God's instrument in his moment of confusion in his life that he turned around and he said, "Hi there, friend. I've been expecting you. It's good to meet you. Now tell me what I am supposed to do next." I tell you, most of the time we're so confused and we're so rattled about our circumstances of life that when God's instrument finally does show up in our life and God is working in our life and God is showing us some things in our life, I think that when he comes and taps us on our shoulders, we scream so loud that somebody in the neighboring county has to call 911. We jump out of our skin. We are on edge so much. And when God does finally show up with his source to be able to guide us and show us to what the next step is, here's what's happening. We are scared to death to such a degree that we are skeptical to listen to what God really has for us next. It's right here in front of us. You heard about the man, didn't you? They were having a record flood. Water was rising. He could not get out. He climbs up into the upstairs of his house, and then he goes up into the attic. The water is rising. He knows that he's going to drown. He doesn't know how to get any help, so he takes an axe and he busts out the top of his roof, and he gets up on the roof, and he's waving. He's waving, trying to get everybody's attention that he can. He's shooting up flares. He's screaming to the top of his lungs. And all of a sudden, a boat comes by, and somebody says, "Hey, you need to be rescued." "No, no, no, no. I'm waiting for somebody else." Boat goes on. He begins to panic a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, a helicopter comes by. "Hey, you need to be rescued." "No, no, I'm waiting for somebody else to do it." And then he begins to pray again. "Dear God, please don't let me die of a flood. Please, dear God, rescue me." And the Lord responds and he says, "You idiot, I just sent you two ways to be rescued, and you ignored them both." Aren't we guilty of that sometimes? God is moving in our lives. God is giving us this sign, if you want to call it, this guidance in our life. This way we sense his presence. The Lord is doing a mighty work. We know God's working. We know God's in the middle of it. But as God continues to speak, it scares us and we are skeptical to be able to take the next step for what God really has for us in our life. Can I tell you something? And I really want to help you here. Would you let me do that? Because I've had to learn this. I'm still learning this. Stop looking for the fireworks. Stop looking for the wind, the rain, the lightning, the big loud and bolting thunderstorm. Stop looking for all that stuff. Stop trying to find your way in what seems to be the most evident. And just start looking into the instrument of the blessed old book. Start get dealing with the instrument on your knees. Get on your face before God. Use your instrument in the house of God, among the people of God. People that are going to help you make good decisions. People that are going to hold you spiritually accountable. Stop looking for the blasting fireworks, the fire, the wind, and the rain, and all of the other stuff. And just seek God in the place where you're supposed to be. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. There are people in this room today, there's no doubt. People listening today, there's no doubt that you wish things were different in your life. You wish you had a better job. You wish you were making more money. You wish your marriage was in a better spot. You wish your relationship with your children were better. You wish your relationship with your parents was better. You wish that you saw the blessings of God on your life the way that you're seeing it in other people's lives, when in reality you're not where you're supposed to be. And so you can never expect to be able to get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. You see, when you get where you're supposed to be, all of the sudden, the fireworks, the fire, the wind, the rain, the lightning will all be replaced by a little instrument that the Bible calls a still, small voice. That's the scripture line. A still, small voice will begin to speak to your heart. After obeying the only steps that God has told you that you are to take, just because you're confused, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Just because you're confused, it does not necessarily mean that you're in the wrong place. It just means that God may be testing your resolve. God is just simply trying to see how long you're willing to wait. God is just trying to see how serious you're willing to look, how much you really want God in your life. God is trying his best to look and see how serious you are about him. And so I tell you what, if you're going to be able to get to where you're going, you had better be where you're supposed to be. And so we see here that there is a prepared instrument. But when he got and he understood that prepared instrument, God used it to give him some precise instructions. We look in verse number 15, and the Bible says, "And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock." Now look at verse number 17. "And this certain man, he said, They are departed hence." Do you see it? They're no longer here. "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, we go to Dothan." By the way, that's not Dothan, Alabama. Keep that in mind. That's Dothan over in the Holy Land. "We're departed to Dothan, and Joseph went after his brethren." And what did he find here? He found them in Dothan. He found what he was looking for. In spite of the confusion of the details, the difficulties, the dangers that were there, and the direction that they was having to go in that mess, Joseph found what he was looking for. Why? Because he made it to his destination because he always kept himself where he was supposed to be. The people who get to their destinations are the ones who keep them straight where they're supposed to be. You know what? He never left Shechem. Are you listening? He never left Shechem until he had more guidance on where to go next, on what to do next in his life. God used a prepared instrument to give him precise instruction what to do, where to go, who to look for, where to look for them. And what Joseph didn't realize is the journey of his life was really just beginning. Had Joseph not been where he was supposed to be in the father's house and where he was supposed to be with where the father told him to go in Shechem, Joseph would have never gone on to Egypt. Joseph would have never gone on to save the world. Amen. But Joseph was where he was supposed to be. And because he was where he was supposed to be, he made it to where he was supposed to go. Now, lots of distractions today. Everybody listen to me. Look at me right now. You may be here on this Sunday morning and you are just confused about everything going on in your life. You are confused about your spouse. You can't figure it out no matter how hard you try. He, she, things just aren't working out. And I'm telling you that the devil is trying to speak a word in your ear to do things that do not honor God. You're not where you're supposed to be. You're never going to get to where you're going. And you're confused about what's going on with your spouse. You're confused. You're confused about what's going on with your kids. No matter how hard you try, I've tried to raise my kids to know God. I've tried to teach them to follow the Lord, but they're just not doing it. I've consternation, anxiety all about me. Is it possible that the reason you can't get to where you want to go is because you're not where you need to be? Is it possible? You're confused about your spiritual direction. Oh, the call of God is on my life, but I'm scared to death. I've tried to take the first step out of the Father's house. I've made it to Shechem, but now I'm just wandering around in a field. I'm looking and I'm waiting and I'm watching, but I can't seem to get any guidance whatsoever. Is it possible that somehow there's something missing in your life? You may be where you're supposed to be, but everything is not just right in order. You're confused about your job. You're confused about your health. Can I encourage you today? Stop looking for the fireworks. Stop looking for the fire and the wind and the rain, the thunder, the lightning, the big storm that will come into your life. All I want you to understand that if you will just get where God wants you to be, listen to me, the source will be there to help you and to show you what you need to do next. God will show that to you. Your number one responsibility is to cast all those other things aside and be it mentally, be it geographically, and certainly spiritually, say, hey, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to go with God, and I'm going to find what He has for me next. The reason we are not getting the instructions that we need in our lives today is because we're not in a place where the instrument is able to find us. That's it. The reason the source is not where it needs to be is because we're not in the place where we're allowing God to find us and speak to us, because we're not where we need to be with Him. When we're in the right place, when we're at the right time, we have every right, every reason to be looking for God in our circumstances. And then when we see Him, don't be scared of it. When you know it's God, when you know it's of Him, and the way you know that is through this book. The Bible will never teach you wrong. It'll never steer you the wrong direction. God will speak to you through prayer. God will speak to you in His house. I'm scared to miss church because I know God may have something there that's going to help me to get to where I'm going. It's among the people of God that'll all come together and be together. It's then that God will show you these things. Write it down. Write it down. The next step is revealed to those who are at the present step. The next step is revealed to those who are at the present step. If you are neglecting your Bible reading, you better get back in the ride on that, because you'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. If you don't know what a meaningful prayer life really is, you better start having one. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. If you're just hit and miss at the house of God when it's convenient, you better change that, because you'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. If there's a hidden sin in your life, that sin that does so easily beset you, you cannot get victory over it, you better seek God in His Word. You better beg God to intervene. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. If you're in bad relationships now, nothing seems to be working in your life, everybody just seems to be bad news for you, you better cut some things and some people out of your life. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. Brother Timothy is coming to the piano, but as he does, I want you to be honest. Again, everybody look at me and listen to me right now. We are done. Be honest right now, would you please? Are you struggling with where you're supposed to be going? And if you are struggling with where you're supposed to be going in whatever facet of life, if you're struggling with it, is it possible that there is something in your life that is not where it's supposed to be? You better deal with that, and I encourage you to do it right now. You'll never get to where you're going until you're where you're supposed to be. You're standing to your feet in the house of God on this Sunday morning.